from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people call me the space. So I need to tell you that we have a Braves doubleheader today, as you know. That the second half is starting off actually in a pretty good way, with the Phillies and the Mets both losing yesterday. Need a Braves fan to jump in at 404-726-0929, and you and I have a conversation about what you're expecting here 10 days ahead of the trade deadline, which is on July 30th at 4 p.m. Do you think Alex Anthopoulos is going to make a big deal here, or no? Because one of the questions about the Braves is, who are you willing to part with? Now, the Braves do have a lot of pieces they could part with in a deal. A.J. Smith, Shaver. Now, today, all right, let me stop. Today, Morton and Elder are going to be starting for the Braves. But if you're looking down the line, you got A.J. Smith, Shaver. When he gets back to health full, and he's starting to work his way back. You've got Ian Anderson working his way back. You have all those young pitchers, Schwellenbach and Waldrop and Owen Murphy. And if you haven't heard about Owen Murphy, maybe a new name to you. He's another one in the pipeline. You even have the number one pick that you just drafted in Ken Caminiti, who a lot of people can't believe fell to the Braves. There's this guy, this 17-year-old pitcher, is the cousin of the late, great Ken Caminiti. Ken, I knew. Knew him from my days in San Diego. I don't know how Cam is a cousin, because Ken, he's 17, and Ken would have been, he's like my age. I'm 64. But anyway, they're cousins somehow. Anyway, so this, but 17-year-old Cam Caminiti is apparently, a lot of people are like, how did he drop to 24? It's like Aaron Rodgers falling to 24. That guy was going to be way up there. And so there are a lot of teams that are knocking on the door. Are you willing to, because I think a lot of people think that the Braves got a massive steal in this young pitcher. And so they're really interested in him moving forward here. So would you be willing to trade one of those guys? The Braves have a catcher in the pipeline who's in Gwinnett named Drake Baldwin, who I don't think they want to part with because I think they have, high hopes for him. But if Sean Murphy is going to be your catcher for the next 8 years, I mean, it's like Shea Langeliers, who obviously is a pretty good player. There's just no room for him at the end. You follow? You could have him as a, are you really going to keep him as a backup here? But if somebody's interested in Drake Baldwin, even if you have high hopes for him, if he's going to be a backup, at some point, that again, Shea Langeliers, as good as he was in a different world, you would have said, okay, we're not trading him because he's going to be our catcher. Well, he's not. And you gave Sean Murphy the deal, and Sean Murphy's going to be your catcher for a long time. And so, I know that some people are like, we can't trade Drake Baldwin. What of Nacho Alvarez? They haven't given him a shot yet, but I think they view him as the shortstop of the future. And I'm wondering if they're going to give him a shot at all this year now. They're just going to live and die with Orlando Arcia. And if that's the case, would you pitch, you know, one of the young pitchers, one of the young players? I mean, you're going to get your door knocked on. Who are you willing to part with if you're going to go out and get a guy? And what kind of a guy do you want, too? Because I think Alex Anthopoulos has to make a move. I've heard he might make a move for a starting pitcher. You're like, why in the world would you make a move for a starting pitcher when you have, you know, Max Fried and you have, you know, Chris Sale and you have Charlie Morton and you have Bryce Elder and you have, you know, Schwalenbach and A.J. Smith-Shawver is going to be back. And, you know, we went down the list here. Why do you need another starting, you know, maybe we see Ian Anderson make a start. Why do you need another starting pitcher? Well, there are two reasons. You need if you can get the right guy, a veteran starting pitcher going into the playoffs can certainly help you, which is to say, I think they're comfortable three deep between, you know, obviously Sale, who right now probably the favorite to win the Cy Young, and Max Fried and Lopez, but I'm not sure they're comfortable at four, and I don't know that they're comfortable at all at five. So, I mean, because Charlie, because of his age, we'll see today again, Charlie. So it's possible they could go out and get a veteran, plus they get a look-see at him to possibly be part of the rotation next year. You know, because I think we can all see that Max Fried, as great as he is, I think most of us would be surprised, right, if the Braves signed Max Fried to a long-term deal. I think most of us would be surprised by that. Just not the Braves thing. Whether that's right or wrong, we can have that discussion, but you got to start looking to the future. So there's that part of a move for a starting pitcher, also the kind of implicit in the fact of bringing him in. All right, so what do you think the Braves are going to do? You know, kind of what's your confidence level, your check level here as we start the air quote second half of the season, hopefully today at 1 o'clock this afternoon. There's that. And I do want to have somebody tell me about this whole EA College Football 25 thing that Noel's going to download tonight that I won't get because I won't play it because I don't have the time. Seems to me if I was going to get that, I would want to invest a whole bunch of time in it that I simply don't have. And once regular football starts, I don't want to play phony football. It's just not the way it's going to work here. It's not going to work that way. So we'll get into some SEC stuff coming up, some of the hot takes in the SEC as well. But if you want to talk Falcons, Hawks, you want to give a shout-out to the Dream for what happened last night with Gray at the All-Star Skills Challenge, certainly you can do that. 404-726-0929. Let's chat on a Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. You know, isn't it intriguing, too? Because getting Bryce Elder back into the mix here, I don't know what to expect from this guy now or even moving forward. Is he sort of like Austin Riley came up right and was just lights out, and then suddenly he was chasing every pitch down in the dirt in the left-hander's batter's box, right? And they had to go work that out on him. And they worked it out. He was lights out. And then he struggled a little bit because of the injury, and now he's playing really good ball. Look, we understand that Austin Riley is going to be one of the best third basemen in all of baseball. Bryce Elder comes up, he's lights out, and then, of course, he hits the wall, and nothing goes right for him. And he comes back up and makes a lot. I haven't given up on Bryce Elder. The Braves have obviously not given up on Ian Anderson, even though they haven't seen Jethro Tull in how long. I mean, it's been a minute here since Ian Anderson was really a factor on this team. I mean, a long minute. And so, but they obviously haven't given up on him. They haven't traded him. They didn't, you know, just go out there and, you know, they gave, you could tell when they give up on a guy, right? I mean, they gave up on Foldynewicz. They gave up on, sort of like, gave up on Ynoa, and they gave up certainly on Soroka. They give guys second and third chances, and they go, okay, move on. Ian, they haven't given up on. And so they really believe in his stuff. They really believe in his makeup. And Ian Anderson could be a big part of this team. Look, one of those two guys, Elder or Anderson, is going to be a big part of this rotation as soon as next year, like a solid rotational guy. So if you don't bring Max Fried back, you got Sale and you got Lopez, and Morton retires, you're going to have three open spots, right? And one of those two guys is going to fill one of those three spots. Now, is a Schwalenbach or an A.J. Smith-Shawver going to fill another one? And then what about five? Is Waldrop ready? You see how this kind of plays out? So you're not only doing it for right now, but any move you might make for a starting pitcher isn't just about right now. It's also about next year. Because once you go into the playoffs, the Braves do have a solid three. They can go to a fourth if they need to. One of the reasons Elder is getting a lot of reps now is because they want to know if he can be the – if they need a fourth starter in an extended series, in a seven-game series – you know, can he be the one guy that can come in and make a spot start? and give you six solid innings? Is that the guy that you can lean on? Who's going to be that guy? Is it going to be A.J. Smith-Shawver? Is it going to be Elder? Is it going to be Schwalenbach, who you're going to lean on to potentially make a start in a, you know, game five of a 2-2 series in order to rest, you know, your other starters here and give them another day? 404-726-0929 is the number. I still think they need a right fielder, a big hitting right fielder, somebody to come in and change kind of the dynamic. I want to see Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario on the bench for two reasons. One, because it so improves your bench from what it was to have those two on the bench, but also because, you know, Duvall is a spot starter as a glove, because Kelnick's my left fielder. Harris is going to come back. He's going to be my center fielder. Eddie Rosario as a potential little bit of a spot starter against right-handers, you know, depending on who you get in right field, but also because of his ability to be a veteran, to be able to come off the bench, pinch hit, things of that nature. For Duvall, it's a little bit more advanced than Rosario because he can't actually start. We's, you know, both have done, and both have done big things. Think about Rosario's home run against the Dodgers, Duvall's grand slam in the World Series. They've both had really big impacts on this team in big, on big stages and big moments. So they are, they would, that'd be a severe upgrade to the Braves bench. Plus, if you bring the right fielder in and he scuffles, then you just look and go, you know, hey, one of you two, you're out there. So again, I could see them making a move for a right fielder. How do you feel about that? But of course, all of this, none of this matters, right? Unless Matt Olson gets his game going. Unless Matt Olson, to me, is the key player. You can't keep leaning on Ozuna. Ozzy's okay. Do you know there's a great stat about Ozzy that despite all of the, you know, the injuries and the fact that he hasn't really been Ozzy at the plate, do you know that he's fourth in major league in doubles? I saw that and went, wow, I didn't realize that. He's fourth in the majors, in the entire majors in doubles, because he had 27 doubles. I went, God, I wouldn't have told you that, that he was in the top five of any offense. Okay, all right, good. So I'm not worried about Ozzy. I'm not worried about Riley. I'm not even worried about Murphy because for two reasons. One, because I still think Murphy is going to get his stroke at some point and really, really light it up. And second, he has a fallback that's pretty darn good, right? So I'm not worried about the catching position. I am a little concerned about Michael Harris getting back, and not from a defensive standpoint, but getting his game. I'm really concerned about Orlando Arcia, if he's ever going to get going. Kelnick's fine. We got that. And the bench improves if you go out and get a right fielder. So to me, it all boils down, and Ozuna's going to be Ozuna, but it all boils down to one guy, and that's Matt Olson. Matt Olson is the key player to the Braves moving forward. Again, I think he has a loop in his swing he's got to get out. I think he has to make an extra move, and he's late on everything. I think they need to get, you know, something ironed out in his swing, and then he's got to get his confidence back. If Matt Olson goes ham between now and the end of September, the Braves are going to be fine because he's going to have to be the glue in the middle of that lineup that's going to get Austin Riley in front of him and Ozuna behind him. All of these guys, good looks. Because if they can pitch around Matt Olson, they can pitch around the other guys. If Matt Olson isn't the center post there in the cleanup spot or in the number three hole, wherever they eventually decide to land him, depending on who they get at right field, if he isn't a center post at the top of that lineup, in the first half of that lineup, the Braves are going to be in serious trouble. And I'm just telling you, I think he is the key. The key to everything runs through that guy. Not unlike the key that everything kind of ran through the other first baseman when he was here. It runs through Matt Olson. If Olson comes out and does Matt Olson things and works himself out, I think the Braves are going to be fine. As a matter of fact, depending on how good Matt Olson is, the Braves could be really fine. If he goes hot and gets hot and stays hot for three solid months, and in the space of the final 67 games, he hits, I don't know, 21, 22 home runs, you know, starts to, you know, everything starts to fall for him, that it'll start to fall for the people around him. And the Braves are going to be fine. Their pitching's good. Their defense is good. They'll win a lot of games. They may catch the Phillies. They may actually win the thing. And I mean, oh, there's no way they're going to catch the Phillies. Well, you know, never know. I mean, you could wake up one day and suddenly they're three games back and they're rolling and they've ripped off eight wins in a row and you're going, oh, okay, well, we got a series with the Phillies coming up. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's important to catch the Phillies. I'm just saying they could. It's not over yet. They have enough firepower that they can get rolling. So what do you think AA is going to do here? I think he's going to make a move for a right fielder. I think that Jazz Chisholm might be that guy. I don't know that for a fact. That's just what I'm kind of – I think there's going to be a move for a right fielder on this team, and he's going to have to give up a young pitcher to get him. All right, we're just going to have to kind of bite the bullet on that one and see how it all kind of plays out. 404-726-0929. What do you think the Braves are going to do here in the next 10 days about trying to improve the team from an overall depth standpoint? There's that. Okay, and number two is should Tiger shut it down? Is he just a ceremonial player? I want to hear from a golf fan because this is really hard for me to watch. Now, are you playing EA Sports? I'm really interested in all of you that are teeing that up, and I know millions of you are. And then coming back here, we're going to throw in the SEC thing as well. And take your calls at 404-726-0929. Got a phone line open here. Want to hear from you. Let's chat on a Saturday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Saturday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Game the countdown on to next week, the Olympics and Valgus Camp and more. We'll get into some SEC Media Days have closed. Big Ten Media Days are next week, and I know if you're not a Big Ten fan, you're going, oh, I don't get. Well, there may be a reason that SEC fans want to pay attention to the Big Ten Media Days, especially when it comes to the most important part, which will be Monday in Indianapolis, the Big Ten Media Days, to listen to the Commissioner Tony Petitti talk about the future. That is going to be a big, yeah, have your antenna up if you're a college football fan. Let's get to your calls. We have a lot to talk about today. We begin with Brian. He's on with John. Hey, Brian.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing good, man.
So, listen, let me first off say that I'm one of the relaxers when it comes to the Braves. So I'll preface that by saying that. The Braves are in a good shape going into the second half of the year. Like you said, like you talked about, the hitting's got to come around for them to make a run. Let me just let you know, I'm a former college and division minor league pitcher in the Angels organization. I've still got some friends that are in the front office out there. And the thing with AA is he surprises everyone. You bring up 5-10 names, and then he picks someone else out of nowhere. And I think you're on the right path when you're talking about the Marlins, but talking to a friend of mine still working with the Angels, that Jazz Chisholm's not the person they're looking at. It's Brian De La Cruz, and the secret person that no one's really talking about that I think would be a genius move in the deal would be a guy who is a former Cy Young winner, someone who had Tommy John surgery at the beginning of this year. So AA likes to look into the future as well. What if the Braves try to get Sandy Alcantara in the deal?
Well, he's under contract
for three more.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I want to explore that with you. And it may be De La Cruz. It could be Tucker. It could be there are 100 guys. I was just using Chisholm. I don't want Tommy Pham. Okay, I don't want Tommy Pham. Don't give me Tommy Pham. The Alcantara thing I talked about a month ago. I said, if you were Alex Anthopoulos, and I want to ask you about this, Brian, would you trade future stuff, because if the Marlins are going to be shredding again, to take a risk on Alcantara? My answer is yes. I would take him now, park him for the remainder of the season, you know, until he gets back and healthy. My answer is I would absolutely do that. Yes.
100%. What's the old saying? Prospects for parades, right?
Right.
What are the Rams? I'm not going to use it verbatim, but he basically said, screw the picks, the Rams GM, when he made all the picks to win the Super Bowl. The Braves are about parades right now. They have a window right now that's probably maybe 4 to 6 years before they're going to get a little bit older. The Phillies are a little bit, you know, they're 2 or 3 years past us when it comes to that window, so we're going to have a little extra window than the Phillies moving forward. And the Dodgers, they're going to get old quick too. So I'm all about trading 2 or 3 prospects. 4 if you have to. I mean, I'm not going to be scared to trade in the division. In AA, I know is not going to be scared. So I love the Alcantara deal. I think he would be great for the Braves. Yes, you're going to have Strider and Alcantara coming off serious elbow injuries going into 25. But it's a long year. Do you really need them in April, May, and June? No, you can make stuff happen. Even if you're getting rid of these prospects, they have enough depth. They're going to be able to go out and do it. So a fallback name I'll throw out there too, also in the division, would be Lane Thomas from the Nationals as well.
No, and I appreciate the call, Brian. Thanks for the call. 404-726-0929. And Brian makes a really, notwithstanding the fact that I think Alcantara would be a phenomenal move for the Braves, and even if they started the season with Strider, Alcantara, and Acuna all on the sidelines, you'd be sitting there, if you were another team in baseball, going, they've got Strider, Alcantara, and Acuna on the sidelines. When they get healthy, they're going to be a problem. Alex has done this in the past when he revamped the bullpen entirely at the trade deadline, when he revamped the entire outfield at the trade deadline, and then, of course, went on to win a World Series. And when he did the – let's just take the outfield because it's more recent. I'm not sure – Eddie Rosario was on my radar at the time. And I said, look, there's a guy out there that can really rake. This is why they wanted to bring Eddie back, was they thought, well, he's just not raking in Washington. He hadn't raked yet here. But what does Snicker like to say, back at the baseball card? I don't know that Jock Peterson, and Soler certainly was not on my radar. So, but he was on, you know, again, I'm not sitting here in the weeds like he is. So whoever he picks, and I just throw Chisholm out as a name only. And one of the other problems I thought with Chisholm, though, is if Harris comes back, he's healthy and he's your starting center fielder. If Kelnick comes, you know, and continues to grow, and what a great pick he was, huh? I mean, apparently. And you see what they did with Chris Sale. So, yeah, sure, you'd take Alcantara. So the problem with it is, if you get a right fielder that you really like, what happens to Ronald Acuna? Well, the answer to that is simple. People say, well, if you get a right fielder that you really like and he's in there and he's going to be your starting right fielder, you got Kelnick, you got Harris, you got the right fielder, what happens to Ronald Acuna when he comes back? I'll tell you exactly what happens to him. DH. You say, we're going to reinvent Ronald Acuna. We're going to put 20 pounds of muscle on you. You can spot start out in right or in left, but what we really want you to do is not be the leadoff hitter anymore. We'll leave that to Kelnick. We want you to become the cleanup guy. We want to turn you into a non-drug version of Barry Bonds, right? I mean, just change you up a little bit. Barry went from a sleek, young, thin, base-stealing, kind of power-hitting outfielder, of course, screaming the clear help, to a guy that had a big head and hit 90,000 home runs. We want to turn you into kind of Barry Bonds. I think that's what you do with Acuna. Let's go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show. Hello, Chuck. 404-726-0929 is the phone number if you want to be part of the program. We're talking about the Braves. We're talking about the Braves and what they're going to do here in the next 10 days and what your Brian said, he was a relaxer. We're talking about Tiger. You know, should Tiger – look, I am a gigantic fan of certain athletes, and Tiger is probably my number one favorite athlete of all time. and, you know, my interactions with him personally. Whatever you hear about Tiger Woods, I will tell you that you have to take people at their word who have interacted with him. If they don't like Tiger and they have a reason that they don't like Tiger from their interactions with him, that's fine. I you know, we, like, for example, just take your workplace, all right? Your workplace, you'll have a dude in your workplace that you really like and good friends with, and he and another coworker don't get along at all, right? I mean, that happens everywhere. It happens at 92 on the game. I know that for a fact. Yeah. So, you know, people I like that somebody else doesn't like. You know, the people don't like me, I guess. I mean, I'm pretty easy to get along with, but anyway. But anyway, the that's true of Tiger. There are people in the media that don't like him. Frankly, I know one person who really doesn't like him in the media, and I will tell you that he will badmouth Tiger at any chance, and I won't name a name. I just won't. But I'm going to tell you, I don't like the media person. I don't think he's a good dude, okay? I think he's kind of a Richard, frankly. So, I mean, if he doesn't like Tiger, that's his issue. But my interactions with Tiger, and there have been, you know, few, I mean, I don't know, maybe 8, 10, over the course of our lives, have always been very pleasant, very positive. He was very kind to my daughter at one point. I think the man's just generally a nice guy. But that was just my personal experience with him. And so, I'm a huge fan, and it pains me to watch. It does. And when he said yesterday, I don't want to be a ceremonial player, I went, yeah, Tiger, that's probably what you are. Let's go to Chuck here. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Freaky? I was about to say one thing, and then you said something that got on my ire, which is ridiculous. Why you want to invent Ronald Acuna? Why don't you put 10 pounds on Riley and have him not hitting swinging at curveballs and let him not play third and be the DH? Come on, man.
Well, here's why, Chuck. Riley is a great defensive third baseman, not a good one.
He's great. He's great.
I don't trust him up here. Okay, I guess I can't figure this out. It's not that I don't think that Ronald Acuna is a great defensive player. He's obviously a Gold Glove defensive player with a cannon arm. What I don't trust, Chuck, is that his knees, both of them, can withstand the pounding of playing the outfield anymore.
I just wanted to challenge you on that little comment.
Hang on, Chuck. We're not challenging each other. We could just talk about. I want to go back to this. When he comes off this latest injury, because let's just explore this for a second. If you're sitting there, you say to him, because you have to say to him, you know, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do? Because if Ronald says, look, I'm not changing here. I'm the leadoff hitter. I want to try and steal 70 bases. I'm playing right field. What other option do you have short of trading him, but to say, okay, if that's what the man wants to do, then that's how we'll work you back in here, and that's what you want to do. I'm saying I would sit down with him and say, let's kind of look at your career in terms of, you know, longevity here. How could we make this so that you end up in Cooperstown, you know, and not just IL?
I don't want to go down another tangent before I make my Braves comment, but I want to touch back on Ronald if I'm not up against a break or a commercial. First,
you
said a lot of stuff about the Braves, but a couple of things you didn't say. You touched on them, but you didn't say. Yeah, you're surprised that Albies is fourth in the major leagues in doubles. He's playing within his contract. It's Olsen that's not playing like a $30 million first baseman. It's Riley that's not playing like a $20 million a year third baseman. We always put money on our athletes in Atlanta and say the highest paid player should be the leader, the highest paid player should be the clubhouse manager and all this stuff, and we put that on people. We put it on Trey. We put it on the football team, whoever. So we got to put that on Riley, too. Riley got to be like a $30 million a year first baseman. $20 million a year third baseman. Olsen got to be like a $30 million a year first baseman. Arcia is playing like a $2.5 million shortstop. So we can't rag on him. I would like to get an outfielder that's got some speed and a little pop. But I love what you said about the remaining outfielder. The only thing I didn't see that you said is the Braves got to get a 95, 98, 100-mile-per-hour closer or setup man. The off-speed stuff, and we talked about this before, when you get to the playoffs, it's always a guy that you don't have a card on that does well. The Braves have had great pitching, but lost 1-0, 2-1, because the other team just had a little bit better pitching. So it comes down to pitching, pitching, pitching. That's what I wanted to say. My last comment in reference to a question mark around Ozuna a little bit is this. This guy has had an injury and still been the rookie of the year. This guy has had an injury and come back and been the National League Player of the Year, and we questioning it. But at the same time, the 92.9 staff wants us to put confidence in a quarterback that's had a major injury that hadn't won anything. How can we flip?
All right, Chuck, I really don't know where you're getting all this. Honestly, Chuck, I really don't know where you're getting all your takes.
Well, I'm getting what?
I really don't. I mean, Chuck, because I don't care about the 92.9 in the game staff. I haven't said anything remotely close to what you're talking about. I've said nothing remotely
every
close.
Every day we're having to hear that we can count on this quarterback to do great, and he's coming off a major injury and hadn't done anything. But then we say, what kind of Acuña are we getting back? And he's come back each time well. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. That's what I'm saying. I know.
Chuck, slow down.
Because Acuña is now a multiple injury guy. Okay, he's a multiple injury. That's why.
I get it.
Okay, if Cousins has another one, yes. Because Acuña is now a multiple injury guy. That's why. How does he fit in?
He's had one injury in a contact sport, a major injury in a contact sport, and we want to have our players behind.
We're talking about both knees because he's multiple. All right, Chuck, I appreciate
it. But he ain't in a contact sport.
No, I got to get to a break here, Chuck. Thanks.
I know you do.
I appreciate it. No, I know. I give you. I understand. I got so much to say because Chuck's misread everything I've said. He just misunderstood. I don't think he's hearing me right. My point about Ozzy being fourth in the league in doubles had to do with the fact that he was injured. He's not destroying the baseball, and yet, you know, I mean, he's had better years. I was just sort of surprised. I went, wow, okay. I mean, Ozzy's fine, by the way. Austin Riley's fine, by the way. And yes, if we pay you the most amount of money, you have to deliver for that amount of money. That's why we pay you the most amount of money. I don't want Acuña to turn into Mike Trout. That's why. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm gonna have myself a real good time.
You know what I love about callers like Chuck is that they make me, he challenges me. Because this is why this show exists. It's exactly that call. Because you challenge me, I challenge him. We try to see things where we... Because Chuck and I disagree, like, but he's doing things. I'm like, okay, it makes no sense to me because we see the world through a different prism. That's all. Like in my world, Kirk Cousins and Ronald Acuña are nowhere alike. In Chuck's world, they're the same thing. In my world, they couldn't be any more different than if one was a cantaloupe and the other was a Cadillac. Okay, they're just not the same thing at all. Okay? I mean, Kirk Cousins, I'm not asking Ronald Acuña to come up to the line against the Chiefs and do an audible to a shift check defense. I'm not asking him to do that, okay? But I'm not asking Kirk Cousins to have to steal 70 bases either or to, you know, throw somebody out from right field to third base, on a rope, you know, when you have to do that, I'm asking him to throw a different kind of rope, all right? So there's total, I'm not asking Kirk Cousins to be the center post for a franchise for the next 10 to 12 years. I'm asking Ronald Acuña to be the center post of a franchise for the next 10 to 12 years. Kirk Cousins, I'll take a year. If I get two, that's great. If I get three, oh, man, we just scored, okay? If we get 3 years of Kirk Cousins, at the top of his game, and all this thing about, because it happened again, I have to dig it up. I've got it in my stack here about, you know, CBS, which, by the way, if you know, look, CBS Sports is probably my favorite. In a way, it's my favorite sports site because it does all sorts of really interesting articles. But they hate us, which makes it really tough. They hate you. If you're an Atlanta fan, CBS, this is why I say those three letters, when you say them, you say them slow. Because when you watch them, review them, or go to their webpage, you see BS, okay? So they hate us, all right? I mean, but yet at the same time, they do really interesting kind of provocative work. But they hate the Falcons, They hate Cousins, and they're of the same kind of ilk of, he not done a damn thing. He ain't going to do nothing here. I don't know. You know, and I'm like, well, Matt, remember, Matt Stafford hadn't done a damn thing either. And he went and won a Super Bowl. Well, but that's Matt Stafford. He wasn't coming off an Achilles. No, it's the. Okay. 404-726-0929. I am just looking out for the longevity of Ronald Acuna. I don't need longevity from Kirk Cousins. His heir apparent is in the wings. He's already on the team. He'll be on the field Thursday. We are going to be looking at him. We all understand this. And we're going to have the, and I tell you, when I tell you that people like Chuck are going to be calling me and screaming in 3 weeks from now, we've got to start Michael Penix. That's going to happen. Okay. I'm just telling you, be prepared. You're going to hear it. Oh, to hell with the Achilles guy. We got to look at what Penix is doing. We just be prepared because for two reasons, because Michael Penix is really good and you're really going to like what you see. And two, because they have no faith and no trust in what Terry Fontenot sees and Raheem Moore sees and the $100 million that they gave guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. All right, let's go to Gary here, 404-726-0929. Hey, Gary, welcome to the show. Gary? Gary, are you with me? All right, I guess you got to put Gary on hold and see if you can reconnect with Gary there. 404-726-0929. We've been talking, and if you, by the way, if you want to talk about the Falcons, we can. When I talk about Acuna, all I'm saying is that it's going to be, and I don't think Chuck heard me. It's going to be up to him what he wants to do. But when we're talking about a guy that's been, you know, non-contact, multiple non-contact injuries, that gives you pause. He said, "Well, you know, it's a contact. Well, of course, people get injured in the NFL. It's a violent, brutal game." By the way, I'm going to stop for a second. If you have never had the pleasure of being down on the field in an NFL game during a game, I don't think some fans understand how truly violent the game is at that level. Major college and especially the NFL, which is another level up. It's a people. Oh, he can just step into the NFL. No, the NFL is another level up from college. Alabama is, it was like, Alabama's so good, if they played, the Patriots, it would be a 41-38 game. And I was like, oh my God, guys, if, Georgia, as great as they were, Michigan last year, Washington last year, Georgia, and ask Michael Penix, and now that he's in the NFL. If Georgia last year would have played, who was the worst team? Carolina Panthers? Carolina Panthers would have obliterated the Dogs, okay? They would have, it wouldn't have been close. And that's not because Georgia isn't good, but because what the NFL is men. They're men. These guys, you will get down on an NFL sideline and watch these guys play. Okay, these guys are men. it's like telling me a great high school team could compete with Georgia. No, these are men at Georgia compared to the high school team, right? I mean, Georgia plays the greatest high school team, though. They win it 90 to nothing. These are men, and the game is so violent. Now, baseball is not a violent game, unless, of course, you happen to be Tommy Pham and you're slapping Jock Peterson around. It's not usually a violent game. And so, as a result, it is of concern when you have, is there something, kind of, for all his gifts, is there a problem with Ronald Acuna that you have to be worried about, these kind of non-contact injuries, since it's been both knees over the last 4 years and multiple injuries for him? In a non-contact game, it's not like he crashed into the wall or tripped over the top step of the dugout or anything. So there's a concern for him and his longevity, in my opinion, to the point where maybe at some point, maybe not, and maybe that's not now. Maybe it's I don't know, 5 years from now or something. At some point, he's going to have to reinvent himself. And that's all I'm talking about how do you create a path for him to become the standard bearer around which you can build a franchise. He and Ozzy and Austin Riley and Michael Harris, those four guys. Can you build a franchise over the next decade around those four guys? The answer is yes, because Sean Murphy's and the Arcias and the Kelnicks and the Olsons will come and go, right? But it's those four guys that you have to find a way to keep healthy, keep in the lineup. And to me, they're the linchpin of a decade-long run for the Braves, okay? That's all. 404-726-0929. Can we try Gary again? Do you want to do that? No, we lost Gary. Let's go to Brennan. Hey, Brennan, welcome to the show.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so just because it sounds like you're at least somewhat doing an open forum, I've got a story about meeting Kirk Cousins in Atlanta that I wanted to share with you.
I'm listening.
So I'm a server down in Buckhead, for a little context, and I was serving Kirk Cousins, actually. Super nice dude. It was a great time chatting him up a little bit. But then at the end of the meal, didn't really leave much of a tip. You know what I mean? It was a pretty large bill. So I kind of, you know, I'm pretty rambunctious dude. I'm kind of, you know, in your face, whatever. I went up to him. I was like, hey, man, like, you're Kirk Cousins. You know, what's the deal? And what he said to me was,
I can't prove that. I can't prove that. I don't believe you. I'm sorry, I don't. If that had been the case, I think it would have made news. I think that call was bogus. And, you know, you can't make stuff up, folks. It's called libel. Right? You can't just do it. Slanderous, you know? That was wrong. I hope, Noel, did you drop the last part of that? Did you clip that by any chance? Good. Because you didn't need to hear it, because that guy, that idiot, you know, come on now. Stop it. You know, I give you guys and gals, we can disagree, that's fine. You know, see things through different prisms, that's fine. I give you, as he started an open forum, I give you an opportunity. I say nothing's off the table. But when you come in and you make stuff up and you lie, and because it was an obvious, I know you didn't hear the end of it, but I will tell you it was an obvious lie. And the obvious lie is that this caller doesn't understand that I've been in the media for 45 years. If what had happened, what he said happened, it would have been huge, gigantic news. I mean, huge, gigantic news. And so he's just full of crap. He flat out lied in the air. I mean, so don't, because he doesn't understand how the media works. There's no way that would ever happen. What, you just now telling that story? You didn't tell anybody else. Nobody else saw it. No, I just don't believe you at all. Of course not, because it's a total lie. So don't come on the air and lie. I mean, don't come on the air and be a Richard like that. I mean, just don't. We're all friends talking here, but don't make stuff up. Where do you want me to go next here? Let's go to Marlo. Marlo is on with John. Hopefully Marlo will be more uplifting than the previous caller. I'm sure he will. Hey, Marlo.
I will. Hey, John, I will, man. Love you. Like I said, I live in Texas, but I'm a Georgia native, Southwick DeKalb.
Where in Texas?
I would have been if I'd... Yeah, I'm in Dallas.
Okay, you're right. So we got a lot of ties together here. You know, I spent quite a bit of time in Dallas. I am not a Southwest DeKalb fan because I went to Lithonia, but you understand that.
I know it, John. Leave it alone. Okay.
My brothers went to Redan, so they're not Southwest DeKalb fans. See, and the funny thing is that, you know, all the high schools now, Marlo, all the fans who know the high schools in the area, and we got Corky Kell coming up here, who know all the powerhouse high schools in the area when it comes to, like, football and stuff, don't know that back in the day in the late Southwest DeKalb, Southwest DeKalb was the team nobody in the state wanted to play, not even Valdosta.
That's right. You're exactly right. And I have a cousin that graduated Redan as well. I just want to tell you, man, you're exactly right on Ronald Acuna, man, because, you know, and to go with your point about asking him and let him make the choice, I don't know, because we're paying him a lot of money, man, you know what I mean? And I'm at the mindset, if he don't want to conform, because, you know, we're allowing him to play summer ball as well, you know what I mean, with a fall ball, you know, out of the country. So he's doing a lot of wear and tear on them knees, and it's costing us when we need it. So I think
we're going to stop that, right? To your point, Marlon, we're stopping
man.
That. We're stopping that right now. He's not.
That's crazy,
no more
man.
Going back to
he's
Venezuela.
Too much money. Yeah.
Right. He's going. You're stopping that. There's no more going back to Venezuela. We're putting that is coming to an end. As to how he wants to proceed here, if you tell him that he has to do something that he doesn't want to do, that becomes a problem. Because you can't.
But John, not to cut you off, John. But look.
You can try and encourage him, but you can't do that.
But John, is it not a problem him not playing?
But you still can't tell somebody what. In other words, you can't I would try and encourage him, but if he says no, you have a problem. What are you going to do? Not play him in right field and not lead him off? What are you going to do?
Hey, John, I'm team first player last, man. That's just my mentality. He's
but what
a great
are you going to do,
player,
though? See, Marlo, if he says
listen,
no,
I'm going to do like you said.
Plan, what are you going to do?
Trade him. Let's trade him. Let's get
You're
rid
just
going to
trade
I mean,
him? Okay, I'm not.
I'm just okay.
I'm not.
Well, he's not playing. He's not playing. He's always hurt.
Well, we're talking about when he comes back, Marlo.
We didn't want a World Series without him, John. The proof is in the pudding. We didn't want without him.
All right,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm not trading a generational
John.
Player.
I love him
at $17 million.
I love him, John. I know it, John. I love him, but he's not playing, so he's got to. You got to give a little bit to get a little bit, John. That's all I'm saying. I hope. Because you make that's a great point. DH'ing, man, we need your bat. You know.
Well, I would encourage him to consider because at some point, my point is this, Marlo. At some point in his career, he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to kind of reinvent himself. All players do. I mean, because everybody gets older, and you have to reinvent yourself as you get older. And as you reinvent yourself, great players will reinvent themselves. And so maybe you do it a little bit younger with Ronald Acuna than you normally would. And he can reinvent himself into a left fielder, for example, where you get less wear and tear in your body than a right fielder, or even into a DH and reinvent himself from a lead.
I'm going to have myself a real good time.
You know what I love about callers like Chuck is that they make me, he challenges me because this is why this show exists. It's exactly that call. Because you challenge me, I challenge him. We try to see things where we, because Chuck and I disagree. Like, he's doing things I'm like, okay, it makes no sense to me because we see the world through a different prism. That's all. Like, in my world, Kirk Cousins and Ronald Acuna are nowhere alike. In Chuck's world, they're the same thing. In my world, they couldn't be any more different than if one was a cantaloupe and the other was a Cadillac. Okay, they're just not the same thing at all. Okay? I mean, Kirk Cousins, I'm not asking Ronald Acuna to come up to the line against the Chiefs and do a an audible to a shift check defense. I'm not asking him to do that, okay? But I'm not asking Kirk Cousins to have to steal 70 bases either or to, you know, throw somebody out from right field to third base, on a rope. When you have to do that, I'm asking him to throw a different kind of rope, all right? So I'm not asking Kirk Cousins to be the center post for a franchise for the next 10 to 12 years. I'm asking Ronald Acuna to be the center post of a franchise for the next 10 to 12 years. Kirk Cousins, I'll take a year. If I get two, that's great. If I get three, oh, man, we just scored, okay? If we get 3 years of Kirk Cousins, at the top of his game, and all this thing about, because it happened again, I have to dig it up. I've got it into my stack here about, CBS, which, by the way, CBS Sports is probably my favorite. In a way, it's my favorite sports site because it does all sorts of really interesting articles. But they hate us, which makes it really tough. They hate you. If you're an Atlanta fan, CBS, this is why I say those three letters, when you say them, you say them slow. Because when you watch them, review them, or go to their webpage, you see BS. Okay? So they hate us, all right? I mean, but yet at the same time, they do really interesting kind of provocative work. But they hate the Falcons. They hate Cousins. And they're of the same kind of ilk of, he not done a damn thing. He ain't going to do nothing here. I don't know. And I'm like, well, Matt, remember, Matt Stafford hadn't done a damn thing either. And he went and won a Super Bowl. Well, but that's Matt Stafford. He wasn't coming off an Achilles. No, it's the... Okay. 404-726-0929. I am just looking out for the longevity of Ronald Acuna. I don't need longevity from Kirk Cousins. His heir apparent is in the wings. He's already on the team. He'll be on the field Thursday. We are going to be looking at him. We all understand this. And we're going to have when I tell you that people like Chuck are going to be calling me and screaming in 3 weeks from now, we've got to start Michael Penix. That's going to happen. Okay. I'm just telling you, be prepared. You're going to hear it. Oh, to hell with the Achilles guy. We got to look at what Penix is doing. We just be prepared because for two reasons. Because Michael Penix is really good. And you're really going to like what you see. And two, because they have no faith and no trust in what Terry Fontenot sees and Raheem Morris sees and the $100 million that they gave guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. All right, let's go to Gary here, 404-726-0929. Hey, Gary, welcome to the show. Gary? Gary, are you with me? All right, I guess you got to put Gary on hold and see if you can reconnect with Gary there. 404-726-0929. We've been talking. And if you, by the way, if you want to talk about the Falcons, we can. When I talk about Acuna, all I'm saying is that it's going to be, and I don't think Chuck heard me, it's going to be up to him what he wants to do. But when we're talking about a guy that's been, you know, non-contact, multiple non-contact injuries, that gives you pause. He said, well, you know, it's a contact. Well, of course, people get injured in the NFL. It's a violent, brutal game. By the way, I'm going to stop for a second. If you have never had the pleasure of being down on the field in an NFL game during a game, I don't think some fans understand how truly violent the game is at that level. Major college and especially the NFL, which is another level up. It's a, oh, he can just step into the NFL. No, the NFL is another level up. From college football, Alabama is. It was like Alabama's so good. If they played, the Patriots, it would be a 41-38 game. And I was like, oh my god, guys! If Georgia, as great as they were, Michigan last year, Washington last year, Georgia, and ask Michael Penix, and now that he's in the NFL, if Georgia last year would have played, who was the worst team? Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers would have obliterated the Dogs. Okay, they would have. It wouldn't have been close. And then that's not because Georgia isn't good, but because what the NFL is men. They're men. These guys, you will get down on an NFL sideline and watch these guys play. Okay, these guys are men. okay, that's a. It's like telling me a great high school team could compete with Georgia. No, these are men at Georgia compared to the high school team, right? I mean, Georgia plays the greatest high school team, though. They win it 90-0. These are men, and the game is so violent. Now, baseball is not a violent game, unless, of course, you happen to be Tommy Pham and you're slapping Jock Peterson around. It's not usually a violent game. And so, as a result, it is of concern when you have, is there something, kind of, for all his gifts, is there a problem with Ronald Acuna that you have to be worried about, these kind of non-contact injuries since it's been both knees over the last 4 years and multiple injuries for him? In a non-contact game, it's not like he crashed into the wall or tripped over the top step of the dugout or anything. So there's a concern for him and his longevity, in my opinion, to the point where maybe at some point, maybe not, and maybe that's not now. Maybe it's 5 years from now or something. At some point, he's going to have to reinvent himself, and that's all I'm talking about. About how do you create a path for him to become the standard bearer? Around which you can build a franchise, he and Ozzy and Austin Riley and Michael Harris, those four guys. Can you build a franchise over the next decade around those four guys? The answer is yes, because Sean Murphy's and the Arcias and the Kelnicks and the Olsons will come and go, right? But it's those four guys that you have to find a way to keep healthy, keep in the lineup. And to me, they're the linchpin of a decade-long run for the Braves, okay? That's all. 404-726-0929. Can we try Gary again? Do you want to do that? No, we lost Gary. Let's go to Brennan. Hey, Brennan, welcome to the show.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so just because it sounds like you're at least somewhat doing an open forum, I've got a story about meeting Kirk Cousins in Atlanta that I wanted to share with you.
I'm listening.
So I'm a server down in Buckhead for a little context, and I was serving – Kirk Cousins, actually. Super nice dude. It was a great time chatting him up a little bit. But then at the end of the meal, didn't really leave much of a tip. You know what I mean? It was a pretty large bill. So I kind of, I'm pretty rambunctious dude. I'm kind of, in your face, whatever. I went up to him. I was like, hey, man, like, you're Kirk Cousins. What's the deal? And what he said to me was,
All right, I can't prove that. I don't believe you. I'm sorry, I don't. If that had been the case, I think it would have made news. I think that call was bogus. And, you know, you can't make stuff up, folks. It's called libel. Right? You can't just do it. Slanderers, you know? Yeah, that was wrong. I hope, Noel, did you drop the last part of that? Did you clip that by any chance? Good, good. Because you didn't need to hear it, because that guy, that idiot. You know, come on now. Stop it. You know, I give you guys and gals, we can disagree, that's fine. You know, see things through different prisms, that's fine. I give you, as he started an open forum, I give you an opportunity, I say nothing's off the table. But when you come in and you make stuff up and you lie, and it was an obvious, I know you didn't hear the end of it, but I will tell you it was an obvious lie. And the obvious lie is that this caller doesn't understand that I've been in the media for 45 years. If what had happened, what he said happened, it would have been huge, gigantic news. I mean, huge, gigantic news. And so he's just full of crap. He flat out lied on the air. I mean, so don't, because he doesn't understand how the media works. There's no way that would ever happen. What, you just now telling that story? You didn't tell anybody else? Nobody else saw it? No, I just don't believe you at all. Of course not, because it's a total lie. So don't come on the air and lie. I mean, don't come on the air and be a Richard like that. I mean, just don't. We're all friends talking here, but don't make stuff up. Where do you want me to go next here? Let's go to Marlo. Marlo is on with John. Hopefully Marlo will be more uplifting than the previous caller. I'm sure he will. Hey, Marlo.
I will. Hey, John, I will, man. Love you. Like I said, I live in Texas, but I'm a Georgia native, South with the Cab.
Where in Texas?
I would have been if I Yeah, I'm in Dallas.
Okay, so we got a lot of ties together here. You know, I spent quite a bit of time in Dallas. I am not a Southwest Cab fan because I went to Lithonia, but you understand that.
I know it, John. Leave it alone. Okay.
My brothers went to Redan, so they're not Southwest Cab fans. See, and the funny thing is that, you know, all the high schools now, Marlo, all the fans who know the high schools in the area, and we got Corky Kell coming up here, who know all the powerhouse high schools in the area when it comes to, like, football and stuff, don't know that back in the day in the late Southwest Cab, Southwest Cab was the team nobody in the state wanted to play, not even Valdosta.
That's right. You're exactly right. And I have a cousin that graduated Redan as well. I just want to tell you, man, you're exactly right on Ronald Acuna, man, because, you know, and to go with your point about asking him and let him make the choice, I don't know, because we're paying him a lot of money, man, you know what I mean? And I'm at the mindset, if he don't want to conform, because, you know, we're allowing him to play summer ball as well, you know what I mean, with a fall ball, you know, out of the country. So he's doing a lot of wear and tear on them knees, and it's costing us when we need it. So I think
we're going to stop that, right? To your point, Marlon, we're stopping that right now. He's not.
That's crazy,
no more going
man.
Back to
he's
Venezuela.
Too much money. Yeah.
Right. He's so, going. You're stopping that. There's no more going back to Venezuela. We're putting us. But that is coming to an end. As to how he wants to proceed here, if you tell him that he has to do something that he doesn't want to do, that becomes a problem because you can't.
But John, not to cut you off, John. But look.
You can try and encourage him, but you can't do that.
But, John, is it not a problem him not playing?
But you still can't tell somebody what. In other words, you can't. I would try and encourage him, but if he says no, you have a problem. What are you going to do? Not play him in right field and not lead him off? What are you going to do?
Hey. John, I'm team first, player last, man. That's just my mentality. He's
but what
a great
are you going to do,
player,
though? See, Marlo, if he says
listen,
no,
I'm gonna do like you
to my
said,
plan, what are you going
to
do?
Let's trade him. Let's get
You're just
going to
trade
I'm
him? Okay, I'm not.
John, I'm just, okay.
I'm not.
Well, he's not playing. He's always hurt.
Well, we're talking about when he comes back, Marlo.
We didn't want a World Series without him, John. The proof is in the pudding. We didn't want without him.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not trading a generational
player. I love him.
At $17 million.
I love him, John. I know it, John. I love him, but he's not playing. So
you got to give a little bit to get a little bit, John. That's all I'm saying. I hope, because you make, that's a great point. DH'ing, man, we need your bat. You know?
Well, I would encourage him to consider, because at some point, my point is this, Marlo. At some point in his career, he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to kind of reinvent himself. All players do. I mean, because everybody gets older and you have to reinvent yourself as you get older. And as you reinvent yourself, great players will reinvent themselves. And so maybe you do it a little bit younger with Ronald Acuna than you normally would. And he can reinvent himself into a left fielder, for example, where you get less wear and tear in your body than a right fielder, or even into a DH and reinvent himself from a leadoff hitter that you're requiring to steal 70 bases into somebody you want to just be a 60 home run hitter. He has that game. Whether he accepts that or not, I don't know. And the Braves may be saying, yeah, you're out of your mind. He's our right fielder for the next 5 years. We're going to put him back out there, and then we hope he doesn't get injured. Which, yeah, that's all we can hope at that point. 404-726-0929. Got a lot of people hanging on here. We got 2 more hours to talk to you. And we've already had the worst call of the day. So everybody, it's up from here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.